This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Yesterday, al-mu'allif rahimahullah, the author of the book, al-imam ibn Hajar, started mentioning the ahadith that it has to do with the days which is we're not allowed to fast, or it's not recommended for us to fast. Okay, so he talked about Al-Eid, Eid al-Fitr. Before that, he's talked about the obligatory fasting, that the recommending fasting days. He mentioned Arafah, and he mentioned the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, 10th of Muharram, Ashura. He talked about Monday, he talked about fasting, the 3 days of the month, and so forth. Then he started after that talk about the days which is not allowed for you to fast, or it is not recommended for you to fast. Ad-deenu deenullah, wa-shar'u shar'ullah, wal-khalqu khalqullah. The deen belonged to Allah. The halal, it was Allah said is halal. And the haram, it was Allah said is haram. Allah said one day you have to fast, and he said one day it's forbidden you to fast. One day I recommend you to fast, and one day he said it's not recommended for you to fast. One day he said you are allowed, some day he said not allowed. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does and ordain and order whatever he wishes, and he will. And this is something to reflect upon when we study these interesting concept. Days you're allowed to fast and days you're not allowed to fast. So we will continue with these days that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about in regard to fasting. For the sisters, they can come inside the musalla here if they want. You are guys more than welcome to come forward. Go ahead. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, la takhussu laylat al-jum'ah. 690, I believe. It's not working? Just hold it. Is it green? Okay. So come closer.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تخص ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي ولا تخص يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not single out the night preceding Friday from amongst the nights for prayer, and do not single out Friday from amongst the days for fasting, unless it occurs during a day of fasting which one of you normally observes, reported by a Muslim.
Maybe the next one too.
وعنه أيضا قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده متفق عليه. وعنه أيضا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا رواه الخمسة واستنكره أحمد. Narrated Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you should fast on Friday unless he fasts it together with a day before it or a day after it, agreed upon. Narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the month of Sha'ban is halfway through,
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. This hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, do not specify the night of Friday with a specific night prayer, nor the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday, with fasting, unless it is a day that you usually fast, and it happened to be on Friday that day. This hadith reported by Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala. I'm sharing this for because there is a lot of people online and some people on site also, maybe a few benefit from it. We all know that al-Bukhari wa Muslim's ahadith are all authentic. But this is in general. But there is certain ahadith, even in al-Bukhari and Muslim, some scholars in hadith criticize. And the criticism to these narrations in al-Bukhari wa Muslim are more of a technical than anything else. So there is technicality, there is a problem in the technicality of it, or the objection will be not in the whole entire text, but will be part of the text, is basically criticized by the scholars, not the whole entire hadith, but maybe some addition in the hadith. Like for example, give you example. You will hear hadith that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will give in charity, that you will give a lot or conceal your charity, that your left hand will not know what your right hand given. You'll find, for example, in Muslim, a narration, it says, that his right hand will not know what is his left hand. انقلب الحديث على الراوي. We call this hadith مقلوب, upside down. So the narrator got confused and he make it the opposite. This category, part of what we call hadith ضعيف, weak narration. But here it is so obvious, the hadith is so long, hadith Jabir رضي الله عنه, about the seven people in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the narration in the Muslim, for example, happened this. This is technical, it's obvious, it's known. You cannot say the whole entire hadith is weak, it's just this lafza. Or an addition, okay? An addition in the hadith that, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and what's in the heavens and earth in 7 days instead of six. So added the seventh. That addition, the seventh, something the ulama criticized. Or you will find a hadith where the narrator will say, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى. So he will say, the one who came closer to Allah, closer is Allah. This addition, the one who came closer is Allah, is criticized. And they said it's weak, because no one ever add this to the narration. So you will find the hadith is very long, but one statement or one paragraph or maybe one word, it will be criticized. Also, sometimes the debate over technicality, and this is a good example. This hadith, even though in Sahih Muslim, huwa min hadith Muhammad ibn Sirin and Abi Huraira radiallahu an. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, Abu Huraira said, the Prophet said, okay? That's fine. Ibn Sirin met his narration of Hurairah acceptable. But when we start examining this narration, you will find that all Ibn Sirin, most of Ibn Sirin's students, narrated that Ibn Sirin said, Abu Darda said, not Abu Hurairah. And we know that Ibn Sirin did not hear anything from Abu Darda. So it looks like someone from Ibn Sirin or his student mixed it up and put Abu Huraira instead of Abu Darda, because no, Ibn Sirin didn't meet Abu Huraira. So it means that there is someone between Ibn Sirin and Abu Huraira. We call this hadith Mursal. This hadith is basically munqata, there is inqita', there is basically not correct. There is weakness in it. That's why Al-Imam Al-Daraqutni, rahimahullah, fil Ilzamat wa Tatabbu', criticized Muslim for narrating this hadith. And he said, Muslim saying that it is through Abu Huraira, but the reality is, no, it is from Abu Darda. He never actually heard this from Abu Huraira. And they said that the hadith goes to Abu Darda, doesn't go to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. And the narration of Abu Darda, it is known, Abdul Razzaq reported, Ibn Abi Shayba reported, the Nasa'i reported, Ahmed reported it. We're very aware of it. That's why many of the scholars of Ilal al-Hadith, like Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi, Abu Zur'ah al-Razi, Ad-Darqutni rahimahullah, have basically picked on Imam Muslim in this specific narration, and they said, no. Here you say, Tayyib Sheikh, is that means the hadith is weak? No. The text, the actual meaning of the hadith is correct. How come? You just said there is a space between, or there is, you know, Ibn Sirin never heard from Abu Darda. Yes, but if you look at the meaning of the hadith, goes along with the next hadith that he read, which is in al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Goes in the same line. So the concept, the ruling is confirmed by other narration. So we consider the other one is like Shahid, is another narration to support. That's why Muslim put it in his Sahih. He didn't put it because nothing, because he believed that this text has a base, an authentic backup for it, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is Hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Also, it means maybe that also Ibn Sirin really heard it from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, not necessarily to be limited to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So here, that's why you will find Jam' min al-A'imma, a group of scholars, Ahl al-Hadith, have authenticated this hadith, like Ibn Hadith Muslim and Abi Hurairah, Ibn Hibban, and al-Bay' al-Hakim, and al-Bayhaqi, and others. The second hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the same concept, do not fast Friday by itself, unless you fast one day before it or one day after it. The previous one, do not specify Friday with fasting. Here the other hadith in Bukhari Muslim make it more clear. You add one day to it before or after. What's the ruling in regard to fasting Friday? I want to fast Friday. We say, if Friday happened to be a day, like let's say Arafah, and you're not traveling, can you fast it? Yes. Because you did not fast Friday because it's Friday, because it was Arafah or Ashura. Okay? Let's say you are in the habit of fasting one day and breakfast one day. Fast one day and breakfast one day. So Friday happened to be one of the day that you're going to fast. We say no, break your fast 2 days. No, you still can fast Friday because that's basically your regular habit. But what if, you know what, tomorrow Friday, Allahu Akbar, we pray Friday, the best Salah, Jumu'ah. The best Salah in the week is Friday, Jumu'ah, prayer. So let me fast as well. Guys, in Friday, isn't the end of the day, there is a time where a dua is acceptable? Sah? When you fast, upon breaking your fast, isn't a dua acceptable? Why don't we do two in one? We fast Friday, so we get the two. We have the virtue of the end of the day of Jumu'ah, and we have the virtue of being about to break your fast. So you put these two together, I get more reward. Kida, logic. Don't you think this is a good point? So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not specify Friday with fasting. This logic is canceled by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is the ruling in regard to fasting Friday? What if somebody said? Al-Imam Malik Rahimahullah and Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah said, it is permissible to fast Friday by itself. Why? They said, because Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, قلما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطر يوم الجمعة. It's very rare that I see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم not fasting on Friday. So Imam Abu Hanifa, most of his knowledge, most of his fatawa and his position comes from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He is a student of the school of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So he has this narration of Mas'ud, he based his argue on it. The second opinion, they said no. It is disliked to fast Friday and to specify Friday with fasting. And that's the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ishaq ibn Rahawi. And they said the hadith is very clear. Hadith Abu Hurairah in al-Bukhari Muslim, he said, do not fast Friday by itself unless you add a day to it or a day after it. And hadith Abu Darda and Abu Hurairah, the one that you heard earlier. Also, Juwayriya bint al-Harith, and this hadith is Sahih al-Bukhari. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, do not fast Friday by itself unless you add one day to it before or after. Also, and this is in Sahih Muslim, hadith Juwayriya radiallahu anhu fil Bukhari, fil Bukhari, not Muslim. So if this is the case, they said it's clear, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said don't, and this is for al-karaha. Why dislike? Why not haram? They say it's not haram because the Prophet ﷺ said you fast it and a day after. So it means only by itself is makruh. That's why you are allowed to fast it, but if you add one thing or a day to it. Or if it comes as a day of other fasting, like what I said earlier, Arafah or Ashura or so. The third opinion, I think you can guess by now, they said it's forbidden. And they said the Prophet ﷺ said do not. And that's very explicit from the Prophet ﷺ, which it means haram. La yasumanna nahi. Very clear prohibition from the Prophet ﷺ, do not fast Friday by itself. Do not specify Friday with fasting. And that's the position of Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, and also the Hanabila, one narration from the Hanabila, and the choice of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. They said the hadith is explicit. What it looks like to me, it is highly dislike to fast Friday by itself. يعني يكره كراهة شديدة جدا. It is very highly disliked to do so. Among the evidence that Ibn Taymiyyah used to say it's haram, he said Friday is a day of Eid. It's Eid, the Eid every week we have a Eid, okay? And there is a narration, hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the day of Friday is Eid. There is debate over is the Prophet ﷺ said that or not, it's authentic or not, but Umar said that. He said, I know it revealed in a day of Eid, which is Friday. He was referring to a verse in the Quran. So Friday, known to be Eid, and fasting the day of Eid is not allowed. So that's one of the position that the Hanabila took. But it's not a very good argument, actually. Why? Because it's Eid, but it's different than the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. That's right. Can anybody tell me what's the difference between Friday as a Eid and the Eid of Fitr and Eid al-Adha? Give me a clear differences between them. لا, Friday, طيب حج or Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. No, the Eid itself, it's not the same Eid. Not the same prayer. He said two Eids, so you cannot make them 54 Eids. That's right. That's a very good point. Also, Eid al-Fitr, Salat al-Eid, for Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, Fard Kifaya. If some do it, khalas, that's enough. But Jumu'ah is Fard Ayn upon every Muslim, male, resident, capable, sane. طيب. Al-Ulama said, why the reason Islam told us not to specify Friday with fasting? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us to be strong to do other kind of worship during Jumu'ah. Come to the masjid early, stay, focus on the khutbah, listen to the khatib. It's not like I can tell you the difference between me when I give khutbah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. In Ramadan, everybody's like so out of it. At least outside Ramadan, I get a little bit of excitement, you know, from people. But in Ramadan, people are completely off. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's narration, which is reported by Tirmidhi, how al-Ulama rahimahullah understood? Yani, Ibn Mas'ud meant, al-ulama said, very rare to find the Prophet ﷺ not fasting on Friday. In the Nabi ﷺ, in his regular fast, if Friday comes, he will not break his fast just specifically for Friday. He will continue fast his regular days. So for example, if he's fasting 6 days in a row, 10 days, when Friday, he will continue fast. He will not break it just because it's Friday. That's what Ibn Mas'ud meant. That's how al-ulama rahimahullah said. That's what Ibn Mas'ud meant. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe fasted Friday sometimes, just to show us it's not haram to fast Friday. So we understand because he did it, he wanted to tell you it's not forbidden, it's just dislike. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes said, don't do that. And when he do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to show the ummah it is not haram, it's just not recommended. Okay, or the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do this, but the Nabi will not do it himself. Why? To tell you that when he said do it, I don't mean it is must, it just recommended. That's why the Prophet left it. So that's something we understand when we look at the practice of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn from this hadith? Number one, that if you have a regular habit of fasting, you do it even if it's Friday. Friday, it is a form of Eid for the Muslims, similar to the Eid from certain aspects. Also, it is not from the Sunnah at all to specify the night of Friday with any type of worship, like Qiyam al-Layl or Salah or specific prayer or anything like that. The only thing in the night of Friday that is ordained for us is to read Surah Al-Kahf. I would say this again. The night of Friday, I mean Thursday night, you are recommended to read Surah Al-Kahf, as well as the day of Friday. So either you read it in the night before Friday, or you read it in the morning. So you read it after Isha on Thursday, or after Maghrib on Thursday, or you read it after Fajr, or after Dhuhr, yani before Jumu'ah. After Jumu'ah, or until Asr, or until Maghrib, according to some. Next hadith, yeah.
Some of the brothers, whenever Jumu'ah comes, they text, Jumu'ah Mubarak and stuff. Is this
people say Jumu'ah Mubarak. هذا دعاء. يعني يا الله bless this Jumu'ah. That's fine.
وعنه أيضا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا رواه الخمسة واستنكره أحمد. Narrated Abu Huraira radiyallahu an, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the month of Sha'ban is halfway through, do not fast. Reported by Al-Khamsa, and Ahmad considered it munkar.
This hadith, when Sha'ban became in the middle, you should not fast. As you heard, hadith reported by Al-Khamsa, Abu Dawood, wa At-Tirmidhi, Wal-Nasa'i, Wabin Majah, Wa-Ahmad. And this hadith, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala criticized it, and he said it is munkar. Why? Because this narration, the whole entire hadith, goes around a man by the name of Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman. He narrated that his father said that. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, this is the worst thing ever Al-Ala ever narrated in his life, okay? And he rejected this. While other scholars accepted it, like At-Tirmidhi, like Abu Al-Tahawi, Ibn Abdul Barr, Rahimahullah, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Hazm, they said it is correct and it's authentic. Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali in Al-Ilal said, there is greater scholar than them, more knowledgeable of Ilal al-Hadith, like Ahmed, wa Abu Zur'ah, wal-Athram, wal-Razi, all of them said this hadith is weak and is not acceptable. And because of this problem of Ala ibn Abdul Rahman, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, even though he narrated a hadith al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman an Abi, he narrated all of them except this one. He did not put it in his Mus-Sahih. Imam Muslim abandoned this hadith specifically, even though he knows about it, but he never put it in his book. And that shows you that Imam Muslim doesn't consider it as something that meets his condition as authentic. Anyway, some even said, rahimahullah ta'ala, If Sha'ban became in the 15th of Sha'ban, do not fast. Ibn Hazm said, if this hadith, this hadith means, يعني do not fast the 16th. قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا. يعني الذي بعده. Do not fast the 16th of Sha'ban. That's what it is. Ibn Hazm رحمه الله said. Others said no. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said after the 15th of Sha'ban, don't start fasting just because you want to be in the safe side. Hey, I'm going to fast after the 15th just to make sure that I'm not going to miss any day of Ramadan. This is not correct. Many of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, do not consider this hadith as authentic, and that's why they said you can fast after Sha'ban as much as you want. Some said, no, it is not recommended because of this hadith, but I don't know anybody said it's forbidden or haram. In the 15th of Sha'ban, there is a very famous prayer. It's called Salatul Raga'ib, or Salah Al-Alfiyya, the 1,000 Salah, which is basically they pray 100 rak'ah. In each rak'ah, they read Qul Huwallahu Ahad 10 times. The total is 1,000 repetition of Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Okay? So they call it As-Salatul Alfiyya. It's very famous practice and ritual people do. This is innovation in religion. There is nothing in related to the middle of Sha'ban as a ritual or a virtue for any specific worship, act of worship during that night. Go ahead, next.
وعن الصماء بنت بصر رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم فإن لم يجد أحدكم إلا لحاء عنب أو عود
عنبة
لحاء عنبة أو عود شجرة فليمضغها رواه الخمسة
فليمضغ
رواه الخمسة ورجاله ثقات إلا أنه مضطرب وقد أنكره مالك وقال أبو داود هو منسوخ. Narrated As-Samma binti Busr radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not fast on a Saturday except what has been made obligatory on you. And if one of you can get nothing but a grape skin or a twig from a tree, he should chew it. Reported by Al-Khamsa, and its narrators are reliable, but it is Muttarib, narrated with irreconcilable contradictions in the chain. Malik rejected it, and Abu Dawood said it is mansukh or abrogated.
Irreconcilable-ish?
Reported by Al-Khamsa, and its narrator reliable, but it's Muttarib, narrated with irreconcilable contradictions in that chain.
Irreconcilable
contradiction.
This hadith related to not fasting on Saturday. It's a very strong hadith that the Prophet said, if you couldn't find anything to break your fast with, you go take a root of a tree and you suck it. Or you take basically ishqal liha shajar, a branch. Huh? Grape peeling? Yeah, grape peeling, no. It means basically that you peel the branch, what to cover the branch, you take that basically cover over the branch and you suck the water out of it. Or you take the root out and you suck the water out of it just to break your fast on Saturday. If you couldn't find anything to break your fast with. So you go to the desert and you do that just to make sure that you're not fasting. That's how the Prophet ﷺ emphasizes, according to this hadith, on the importance of not fasting on Saturday. Unless it's a day which is obligatory to fast. افترضه الله عليك, like Ramadan, like yesterday. So this hadith reported by Abu Dawood, wa Nisa'i, wa Tirmidhi, wa Ibn Majah, wa Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. Some ulama said it authentic, like Al-Hakim, rahimahullah. قال صحيح الإسناد. Isnad is authentic. But as you heard, muttarib. What's muttarib mean? Muttarib, it means when things is not stable. Okay? Ittirab, it means instability. when there is contradiction that you cannot reconcile between them. What's the problem with this hadith? The first hadith started the problem with it from the beginning. The narrator of the hadith, who narrate this hadith? We just heard him saying, As-Samma bintu Busr. But this hadith was narrated that As-Samma bintu Busr said, her brother said. Her brother, Abdullah ibn Busr, is a famous companion. Okay? Another time it was narrated, Muslim Ahmed, Abdullah ibn Busr, her brother said, my father said, the Prophet said. So it is now the grandfather of As-Samma. Also, Abdullah ibn Busr said, my aunt said, the Prophet said, Khalata. Once the hadith came that Abdullah ibn Busr said, Ammatu, his aunt, her paternal aunt, not maternal aunt, Ammatu. And one he said, my sister, As-Samma. And once he said, my sister Aisha, not As-Samma, the other sister. And once he said, my mother. And when he said, I heard Aisha, the Prophet's wife, said. So how many we have now? Did you see how many, how mixed up this is? That's why ulama rahimahullah said, we cannot accept this narration. Whoever in the successors, among the successor or the follow of the successors, gets so confused. Is it As-Samma bint Busr? Is her brother, her uncle, her father, her grandfather, her other sister, her aunt, her uncle? He gets so confused. When the narrator is so confused like this, what do we do with the hadith? We said we don't need it. We exit. It's weak. So ulama al-hadith will reject this hadith. That's why Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala said la yathbut. I'm not going to take this narration. That's why Imam Malik rahimahullah, when he was told about this hadith, qala hadha kadhib yani khata. Ma yaqsid kadhib yani lie. Imam Malik said this is kadhib. Kadhib, you guys familiar with the word kadhaba? In Arabic language, in the people of Al-Hijaz, when they say kadhaba, it means akhta. That's why Aisha, when she said about Umar kadhab, she means mistake. A lot of people, Shia and some Rafida used this and said, oh, she said he's a liar and how can he trust a liar? That's not true. The lughat Ahl Al-Hijaz, the way Ahl Al-Hijaz speaks, when they said kadhab, yani akhta, mistake. That's a very common way of speaking. Anyway, Al-Imam ibn Awza'i ibn al-Qattan, Al-Imam al-Tahawi ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, many ulama, Ibn Hajar as well here, said it's muttarib, it is weak narration. And even if we say it is not weak, it is not muttarib, Abu Dawood said it is mansukh, abrogated. And also Al-Nasa'i, it looks like he leans toward that as well, that it is also abrogated. So the isnad is weak. The text itself is strange. The text of the hadith is strange. Why? Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the hadith al-Bukhari or Muslim we just heard, don't fast Friday unless you fast one day to before it or one day. What's after Friday? Saturday. So how he say, here you fast Saturday. And this hadith is al-Bukhari or Muslim. So that text contradicts very authentic ahadith that shows the permissibility of fasting Saturday. Also, many other narration that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted Saturday. Salama said, in Nabi sallam used to fast in a regular base on Saturday. And Salama's narration is more authentic than this one. The hadith is more authentic than this one. So the texts contradict other texts, more authentic and more clear. Also add to this, when the Prophet ﷺ says, unless you go and you dig a tree and you suck, why? If you don't want to fast Saturday, do you have to do all this? You just, in your intention, I'm not fasting. Done, you're not fasting. Why you have to go dig a tree and to eat it and... Even it makes no sense, al-ulama rahimahullah said. It doesn't really make much sense because you can just break your fast by the intention. Tayyib. That's why al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala do not have a problem with fasting Saturday. It has become in modern days an issue because Shaykhana, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, one of my teachers and great scholars of Islam in modern days, Shaykh al-Albani, authenticated this narration, authenticated this hadith. And he became very even strict about it. That he said, if Arafah comes Saturday, you're not allowed to fast Arafah. Because you cannot fast the day after it, which is Eid. You're not allowed to fast Arafah. If you're gonna, unless you fast one day before it, he said. But Saturday is not allowed at all. He said it's forbidden and haram. And I don't know anyone before Sheikh al-Albani says that. All respect and love for Sheikhna rahimahullah. But I don't know anyone in Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what he said about this. And no doubt he's a great scholar, but everybody, وَكَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ نُبْلًا أَن تُعَدَّ مَعَايِبُ. A noble people, the one that you can count their mistakes. Can you count my mistakes? You can't. There's too many of them. If you can count your mistakes, you're a good man. Good man. But the problem is, our mistakes are, there's too many of them. Sheikh among those who you can count their mistakes, very few. Next hadith.
وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر ما كان يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد وكان يقول إنهما يوم عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم أخرجه النسائي وصحح ابن خزيمة وهذا لفظه. Narrated Salama radiallahu anha, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast mostly on Saturday and Sunday. And he used to say, there are festivals for the polytheist, and I want to act contrary to them. Reported by An-Nasa'i and Ibn Khuzaymah regarded as Sahih, and this is his wording.
Yes, this hadith also considered by Imam Ibn al-Qattan as Hasan, acceptable, and Ibn Muflih rahimahullah and others. And also Sheikh al-Albani authenticated, which is interesting as well. This hadith Umm Salama radiallahu anha shows clearly that fasting Saturday will be acceptable. طيب. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah or Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila said, fasting Saturday by itself is dislike. They still consider this, even if it's weak hadith, the Hanabila especially, they still go with the weak hadith, prefer it over the opinion. They said it's makruh, but it's not haram. Some said, no, actually it is recommended to fast Saturday because the hadith Umm Salama radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And the correct opinion is the third one, which is the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah and Imam al-Awza'i. And the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim also supported that in I'la al-Sunan and other, in his comment on Abi Dawood and others, and Ibn Hajar as well, that it is permissible. You are allowed to fast Saturday if you want, and it's just like any other day. The only one who said it's haram is Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I can't think of any scholar support him on that opinion. Next. Oh, the hadith of Umm Salama, he said they are celebrating this as Eid. So they eat and drink and eat. So I want to do the opposite by not eating and drinking on that day.
But is that logic still fine?
Can we say that this logic is still fine? Because today, Saturday and Sunday, it's a celebration for the Christian and Jews. And you would like to be different than them. Yes.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم. But one of the things we look at when we find a hadith like this, we look at عمل السلف, the practice of the صحابة. And I'm not aware that there is a common practice between the salaf on regard this. They didn't understand that they want themselves also to fast Saturday and Sunday. Yes.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن صوم يوم عرفة بعرفة رواه الخمسة غير الترمذي وصحح ابن خزيمة والحاكم واستنكره العقيلي. Narrated Abu Huraira radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited fasting on the day of Arafah at Arafah. Reported by Al-Khamsa except At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim authenticated it, and Al-Uqayli considered it munkar, rejected.
Yes, and also Ibn Hazm and Al-Nawawi and Al-Mundhiri and Al-Albani, all of them consider it weak hadith because Hawshab ibn Uqaym, and that's why Al-Uqayli and others are surprised by some people who authenticated this hadith, and they said, how can it be authenticated? Because this man, Hawshab ibn Uqayl, is not from Al-Bukhari's narrator as Al-Hakim claimed, and he is actually a weak narrator. But anyway, this leads to the issue of fasting the day of Arafah for those who are in Hajj. What's the reason? We learned before, fasting Arafah for non-Hujjaj, some people staying and not doing Hajj, it is highly recommended. But what about someone in Arafah itself? Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari and Imam al-San'ani said it's forbidden, it's a sin. Okay? And they said the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid that, it means forbidden. It is recommended for the person to fast the day of Arafah. You are in Hajj or not in Hajj. And by the way, this opinion adopted by some of the companions like Aisha radiallahu anha and also ibn Zubayr and Ishaq ibn Rahaway, and they said the hadith that spoke about the virtue of Arafah, fasting Arafah, did not say for Hajj or non-Hajj. It's general. The third opinion, which is the position of the four madhahib, the Shafi'i, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Hanbali, and it is the vast majority of the early scholars from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een that we know of, that fasting the day of Arafah for the person who's not in Hajj, highly recommended. For those in Hajj, it is basically highly disliked. And it is highly recommended for the Hujjaj not to fast. Why? Because there is other ahadith more authentic than this one. Hadith al-Fadl radiallahu anha. At the day of Arafah, people were debating, is the Prophet fasting or not? Because every year he fasts the day of Arafah when he's in Medina. But when he's making Hajj, people start saying, is he fasting the day of Arafah or not? Yes, no, yes, no, tamaraw. Umm Salama witnessing. So Umm al-Fadl radiallahu anha, witnessing that. So she sent the Prophet, she wanna cut the debate. She sent a cup of milk, to the Prophet. She said, if the Prophet drink the milk, he is not fasting. If he rejected it, means he's fasting. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his camel, on the top of his camel. She passed the milk, the Prophet took the milk and he drank the milk. Khalas, no debate. The Prophet is not fasting that day. So the sunnah is not to fast on the day of Arafah. Like the Prophet ﷺ, قال خذوا عني مناسككم. Do what I do. And the Nabi ﷺ did not fast the day of Arafah when he's fasting, when he is doing Hajj sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith, by the way, in the Bukhari Muslim, the story of al-Fadl radiallahu anha wa ardah. Some ulama, like al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, in one opinion, and al-Khattabi, al-Shafi'i, choose this. They said, and this is also Ata and Qatada said, we differentiate in Hajj between someone capable of fasting and someone fasting will make them weak, cannot pray and make dua and move from one place to another. If he is weak, no. It's best not to fast. If he's strong enough, it's recommended for him to fast. But again, I don't think this opinion is very strong because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stronger than anyone else and he himself didn't fast sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next.
وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صام من صام الأبد متفق عليه
من صام الأبد
لا صام من صام الأبد متفق عليه ولمسلم عن أبي قتادة بلفظ لا سام ولا أفطر Narrated Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "He who observes perpetual fasting has not fasted." Agreed upon. Muslim reported it from Abu Qatada with the wording, "He has not fasted nor broken his fast."
Can anyone explain what this hadith means to me? What this hadith means? He said he did not fast, the one who continuously fasts. يصوم كل يوم, every day you fast. Forever, like this. He said he didn't, he's not fasting. قال لا صام. He's not a fasting. And another narration, he said, not a fasting, not a non-fasting. No reward. يعني you fast, but there is no reward for your fast. So he said, لا صام ولا أفطر. يعني he did not break his, he's not a, break his fast, so enjoying food, nor he's fasting and enjoying the reward. يعني he lost both. He lost the reward and he lost what? The food, the ability to eat and to drink. So he lost both. That's what it means. لا أفطر ولا صام. يعني لا أخذ أجر الصيام ولا استمتع بالإفطار. He's a loser, يعني in other words. The person, he lost both. He didn't get this, nor he got that. So العلماء رحمهم الله رحمهم الله قالوا لا صام من صام الأبد. هذا خبر وليس دعاء. It's a statement from the Prophet ﷺ telling us that the person who does such thing, يعني he will not get the أجر of that fasting. And some said, it means maybe the Prophet made dua against that person, that Allah do not accept from them. يعني do not let their fast to be accepted, to be a correct fasting. And this hadith, as you heard, in Bukhari wa Muslim. And the other narration that he said, he didn't fast nor he break his fast, it's because he didn't enjoy the food nor he fast. What that means, continuous fast, Sam al-Dahr. Why? Because there are certain days in the year, it's forbidden for you to fast. صح? Like Eid, you're not allowed to fast. And if you fasted, you have committed sin. So is this what the Prophet ﷺ meant? Al-ulama rahimahumullah debated over that. قالوا, some said, if you continuously fast, but you avoid the days which is fasting and it is not allowed, it's fine. يعني, in another word,